We turn to our precious Lord.
Take good care of this fellow.
We leave you with some good old-time gospel music.
I'm going to tell you about the coming of the judgment. Fairly well, I'm going to tell you about the coming of the judgment. Fairly well, there's a better day a coming. Fairly well, there's a better day a coming. Fairly well, in that grave getting up morning. Fairly well, in that grave getting up morning. Fairly well,
when you see the lightning flashing.
Fairly well,
when you hear the thunder crashing.
Fairly well,
when you see the stars falling.
Fairly well,
hear old Gabriel's trumpet calling.
Fairly well, in that grave getting up morning. Fairly well, in that grave getting up morning. Fairly well,
when you see the lightning flashing, when you
hear the thunder crashing, when you see the stars are falling, and you hear the chariots calling.
Good news,
chariots coming.
Good news,
chariots coming.
So
glad chariots coming, and I don't want to be left down.
There's a long white robe in the heaven I know.
Long white robe in the heaven I know. Long white robe in the heaven I know.
Good news,
chariots coming.
Good news,
chariots coming.
So glad
chariots coming, and I don't want to be left out.
In that grave, in the morning,
fairly well, in that grave, getting up morning, fairly well, in that grave, getting up morning, fairly well, in that grave, getting up morning, fairly well, in that grave, getting up morning, fairly well, in that grave, getting up morning, fairly well, fairly well.
Thank you to Dan Heike and the members of the Barbershop Chorus.
I see your uniform now.
We now have an ethical question. When we count the number of people that have been in worship today, do we include them or not? A couple of announcements that we have before we continue with our worship service. First of all, on the survey for today. Oh, there you go.
Good morning. We are passing out the last, the third survey and the last survey that the transition team is asking the congregation to complete. This survey asks a little bit different than the other two. The other two asked more about, you know, the time and talents that you wanted the new pastor to spend on and what types of gifts they would have and things like that. And this one really looks more at the congregational characteristics. And so it's a front and back, just so that you know, but there are two phrases. And so they're opposite phrases. And what we want you to do is to identify which one most closely represents what the congregational characteristics are. So the very first one is we tend to be more formal and programmatic, or we tend to be informal and spontaneous. If you're very sure it's one way or the other, or if it's kind of one way or the other, that's where you would fill in the circle. And you don't have to fill them in, just X them is just fine. But It's a front and back. There's 12 questions that we're asking. Those are exact questions from the ministry site profile. So we're compiling all of that. We do ask that all of the surveys are turned into the office by the 18th, which is Tuesday, and that will just give us a little bit of time to be able to compile all the results of the surveys from the paper surveys and the online versions so that we can complete the ministry site profile and get the call started. So does anyone have questions about the surveys or the process? Okay, great. Have a good day.
Jeremy has something to share with us.
Everybody made it through the snowdrifts this morning? Okay. Sunday, July 30th, we're going to be having a special congregational meeting to talk about approval for a furnace replacement project. Now, before we absolutely need them kicked into high gear, is probably the best time to be talking about that. And without going into, you know, holding the whole meeting here, essentially what we're looking at is a staged replacement of a couple of the furnaces at a time, as one in particular has failed so bad, but how they're laid out, it makes sense that we replace the ones that we have to remove anyway to get to the worst offending one, which isn't working at all. So if you would please join us on Sunday, July 30th, in the Fellowship Hall, just following the morning service. Talk more about that. Darren's been busy looking at this issue and collecting bids along with the rest of the admin committee. So hopefully we see you then. Thanks.
Just a comment on the garb that I have on this morning. I put on the red because the chorus had red on. I should have put on green if I would be traditional in that way. I don't know how many of you have seen something like this before. It's called a chasuble, which is a garment to be worn only when there is communion celebrated. In a way, it's a sign for the congregation, hey, there's something special going on today in the worship service without communion, then the pastor would wear stoles. And as I understand, the churches in Malawi really appreciate liturgical vestments, and the pastors really enjoy when pastors from the States send over chasubles that they won't be using any longer. So it's a tradition that means a lot to them there. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join in singing, Here I Am, Lord.
Thank you.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love.
Amen.
Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And
also with you. Let us share the peace of Christ that we have through his forgiveness with one another. Peace be with you. 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 We continue with the prayer of the day. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy, live according to it, and grow in faith and hope and love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading is from Isaiah 55. As for the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lo, your word, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. Since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures for only a while, and when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated.
All the children come up. Come join me in the front. Good morning. Hey, guys. Hi. Hello, come on up. So, can anybody tell me what a parable is? A parable is a story that has a lesson. And you know, the thing is, I'm kind of like a little kid. I'm with you guys. Sometimes the parables are hard to understand. Sometimes I think, what? What was he talking about? Seeds? What? So sometimes I go to these. These are called children's Bibles, but believe me, I use them a lot. Because sometimes it puts the story in a different way so that we can understand it a little bit differently. So I'm going to read it again, just what Grandpa just read. But I'm going to read it again out of this storybook, okay? You know, you might want to come down this way a little bit, yeah? Before I clunk you in the head? No? Okay, fine. So Jesus said, "Here's a story for you. There once was a farmer who went out to plant seeds, and some of the seeds fell on the hard-packed footpath." That means the hard earth, right? "And the hungry birds came and gobbled them up. And other seeds fell onto a rocky place where there was no soil for roots to grow, But the plants sprang up anyway until the sun came out, and then they withered and died. And then some of the seeds fell among the weeds, and the weeds grew, but before long the weeds choked them out, and so the plants never produced any grain. And finally, some of the seeds were planted into good, rich, healthy soil. And these plants grew up strong and tall and produced a great crop. But the people didn't understand the meaning of the seed story, kind of like me sometimes. And so later Jesus explained it to his disciples. You see, the seeds are like God's word. Some people hear God's word, but Satan steals it away, just like the hungry birds that ate the seeds right off the path. And other people are like the seeds that sprang up really quickly in the rocky soil. They are excited and joyful when they first hear God's word, but then their faith isn't very deep, and they have no roots. And when troubles come, they have no strength. They're like the plants that withered in the sun. And then there are those who hear God's word but worry about getting rich, and their worries crowd out the truth, the same way the weeds crowded out the good plants. But finally, continued Jesus, there are those people whose hearts are eager and ready to hear God's word, and they are like good, healthy soil, and God's word can make deep roots in them. They will grow, and God's goodness will be like fruit in their lives. Oh, so does that mean that when Jesus told us to go out and share the story of Jesus and God with other people, does that mean we should only tell some people? You think so? Like, forget Marlies. I'm only going to tell Anya today. Right? Right? Yeah? No? No? I should tell you too? Yeah, it means we should tell everyone. And sometimes people won't listen, or sometimes it really won't stick with them. But it means that no matter what, we'll find the people that are good soil, and they will listen, and it will change their lives. Pretty cool. Should we go out and tell people? Let's go tell. Thanks for coming up.
Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A picture that whenever I read this text, a picture that comes to my mind was from a church convention I was at. And at this convention, for their theme, they had this parable, the sower. And every time they had a devotional period, there would be a woman that would come out dressed like they imagined the woman would dress back in Jesus' day. And over her shoulder, she had a bag. And the bag came over here, and she would be standing about like this, as if she were just about to reach into the bag and throw the seed out. And in the parable that we heard, it showed us where the seed was sown. There are three things about this parable that stand out for me. One of them was the lavishness of the sower. The lavishness of the sower, because that sower didn't have a huge 400 or 600 acre farm that they had to get as much seed sown as possible. It probably only had a small patch to sow. So they knew every inch of their property. And there also weren't many, many roads in that area. They were too expensive to build and keep up. But what they had was a lot of paths going from one neighbor's field through another neighbor's field to wherever they were going. And those paths were well trodden. And everybody could see where the path was. Or even where the soil was rocky underneath. Maybe you couldn't see it from above, but underneath you knew there was a rock ledge. That sower knew where that rock was underneath the soil. But the sower kept sowing, just throwing out as much seed on the path or the thin soil as on the good soil. A second thing that surprises me about this text was there's a couple of verses, I don't know if you noticed that, but we started with telling the parable, and then we skipped a couple of verses, and then went to the explanation. And it's always those couple of verses that are skipped that are important to read. Because the question comes up, why were they left out? And this one's kind of strange. The disciples, after Jesus tells the parable to everybody, and then when he's talking with just the disciples ask him, why do you talk in parables? And Jesus' answer is, because I don't want them to hear. I don't want them to understand. It's only for you, the disciples, to understand. Why would Jesus have said that? We really don't know. The only thing that I can come up with was in telling the parables would always say, this is what the kingdom of God is like. And the people who were on the outside at this point didn't fully understand what the kingdom of God was like. They wouldn't fully understand until Jesus had suffered and died and risen again. Then they would fully understand what the message of the kingdom of God was like. And then just before Jesus ascended, he said to the disciples, go, tell everybody the good news. All of it. Tell everyone. For me, that's the only reason that those words make any sense. The third thing that surprises me in the parable is, you notice when the seed fell on the good soil? Did it all produce the same? What was the differences? One produced 100, another area produced 60, and another 30. Now, does the parable say, well, some of it fell under a shade tree? Well, of course that didn't produce 100. It doesn't. It doesn't give us any explanation as to why some areas produce more and others less. There's something there for us to understand. We might get to it, and then again, we might not. Going back to the first one, the seed that was sown on the path, why would you do that? A story from India. Two men were getting on a train from a city in the south and going back to their home area 400 miles north. And as they were about to get on the train, somebody handed the one man a pamphlet. But he was about ready getting on the train, so he just stuck it in his shirt pocket, got his stuff on the train, went and sat down. The other man, and he sat down on a window seat facing this way. The other man got on, and he sat right across from him on a window seat facing the other way. So he could see him during the train trip. The man never took that pamphlet out of his hand or out of his pocket until they both got to the city where they were getting off, or the little town. And as the man was fumbling around, he happened to realize that he had the pamphlet in his pocket, and he took it out and he dropped it on the seat. This other man was curious. So before he got off, he went over and he picked up the pamphlet. And when he got home, he sat and read it. And it was a pamphlet that told about Jesus, someone he had never heard about in his life. And in the pamphlet, there was an address where you could get a hold of someone who would give you more information if you would like it. And so he contacted that person, and it took a while, but finally somebody came and explained to him more who this Jesus was. And as a result, he became a Christian. Now, it had been sown, that pamphlet, that word about Jesus had been sown in the heart or on the, you know, to somebody who had no desire to know about Jesus. But someone else was touched by that and came to faith. And so you sow in the most unlikely of places. The second one, the sowing was done on this thin soil with rock underneath it. And Jesus says, now these are people who have known the faith before. And when they come to know it, they're all excited. They join the church and they get involved in every committee and everybody says, wow, this is great having those people here because they give a whole different flavor to the congregation. But then it might be that the pastor commits a sexual indiscretion and they're gone. If that's what it is to be a pastor of a church, is that what it means to be a Christian? And that person had taken them through the whole process of learning about the Christian faith. And now look at what really was in their hearts to begin with. They're gone. The seed that was sown on the rocky soil. And then there's the seed that is sown, and I don't know if those thorns were there to begin with, or they just grew up faster than the plant was growing. If the thorns were there to begin with, it always leaves in the back of my mind, well, why didn't the farmer get rid of those thorns to begin with? But that's not the question here. It's that the plant was growing in the faith, but then Jesus says, but the cares of the world and riches kind of drown it out. The cares of the world and wealth. Is wealth in and of itself bad? Not really. There are lots of people in the Bible that were wealthy. Abraham, flocks like you couldn't imagine, servants, everything. Joseph, a lot of people had a lot of wealth. But it's what you do with it. For us, I would think for many of us, we've got more money, if we're going to be honest, we've got more money than we know what to do with. The question for many of us is, how am I going to use that wealth? One congregation that I was at, one young man who had a family, asked me one Sunday, Pastor, you know, I've been given this offer for a new job. A raise. But he'd have to be gone from his family a couple weeks, a month. What should he do? Or when it comes to sports. You know, I know someone who's a great baseball player a couple years ago. And he got on a traveling team, a baseball traveling team, and all summer long, they were gone every weekend. Different city, a different place, different game, different tournaments. But what it did was it took the whole family along. And every weekend, they put out the money for hotels, for food, for travel. But it took them away from their church. And their church family. And in fall, when it came time to get back into the rhythm of things, they kind of sort of decided, you know, our life went pretty well without church all summer long. Do we really need it? Do we really need to get up every Sunday morning and involve our kids in Sunday school, encourage them and always be there with them in worship. And they kind of backed off. Nobody complained. But then it was a few years later that this family, the parents, had some health issues. And their faith started meaning much more to them. And they started relying more and more on their Christian faith. And they'd tell their kids what it meant to them. The kids could have cared less. Sometimes our riches can be a burden to us because they can come between us and our Christian faith. But then there's some of that seed that fell on good soil. Wow. Producing, now you that are farmers, how much do you expect to get from one kernel, one seed? Anybody? I don't know. 10 kernels back, 50? I don't know. 100? Anyway, it sounded like this was a magnificent harvest, at least in part of the field. But why wasn't it all the same? When the word is spread, when the word comes into action in our hearts and comes alive, does everybody respond in the same way? One of the things we can be tempted to do as Christians is compare ourselves to that person or that person and say, well, look at what I'm doing. Look at how much I'm giving. But I don't think that other person is giving as much. First of all, we have no idea what that other person's life is like. We don't know what bills they have to pay. We don't know how many other people in their family, their extended family, that they're helping. We don't know what people are contributing to other good causes outside of our congregation. And so for us to compare ourselves, our giving of our time or whatever, doesn't work, right? All we can be grateful for is that we have heard the word, and that the word is so meaningful in our lives because it brings us into a relationship with Jesus Christ. One thing that flows through this whole parable is God's lavishness. I mean, I think of that lady standing there ready to pull out another handful, whew, and throw it to the wind. Ready to get another handful and throw it to the wind. And so God's blessings have fallen upon us as well. To think about it, God doesn't just put flowers where people can see them, right? How many flowers are blooming out in the middle of nowhere and nobody ever sees that beauty? Does God only put it where it can be noticed and somebody's going to say, oh, thank you, God, thank you? No. He's just going to have beautiful flowers all over. And aren't there some flowers or plants or tree, whatever, that only starts growing after a fire? After a forest fire. Can it be that way in our lives too? That only after something very difficult in our life has happened, that something new comes forth. We think of a waterfall. People travel far and wide to see that water falling and how beautiful it is, and they just hold their mouths open in wonder as they watch it. But that water keeps falling day and night, day and night, day and night. And so God's lavish grace has been poured out upon you and I. And our response to it is, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that seed. Thank you for your love in Jesus Christ. How can I show my love to you? Amen. May the peace of God, which goes far beyond our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We join in singing our next hymn. Please rise. Let us join in confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We now receive the offering. We pray. Merciful God, you open your hand and satisfy the need of every living thing. You have set this feast before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Today we give thanks to God for music and hymns that make our hearts glad. We thank you, God, for the barbershop singers, and we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit upon them, that they continue today to minister in your name as they sing. Lord, hear us, O God. We pray for the members of Congress, that the Holy Spirit may guide them in the decisions that they will be making in the next days and weeks. Hear us, O God. We pray for our youth and children, that this summertime may help them to continue to grow in faith and trust in Jesus. Hear us, O God. We remember those who are ill. Maxine Cole, Joyce Johnson, Kathy Falk, Lexan Groh, Gordon and Carolyn Hemming, Lavera Larson, Mary Catherine, Maxine Larson, Ray Millett, LaVon Swanson, Sam Zander, Jim Hintzman. We also pray for God's protection for Luann Dons as she travels. Hear us, O God. We remember those in the military and those whose work takes them away from home and family. Hear us, O God. There is much more that we carry on our hearts. We lay it all before you, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, and for the sending of your Holy Spirit to be with us as an advocate and to be the one who always points us toward Jesus. And so it is that with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." We join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is prepared.
body of Christ given for you. The 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 blood of Christ shed 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 for you. Go in peace.
Shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you.
Given for you. The body of Christ 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 given for you.
Amen.
The body of Christ given for you. 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 The body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
The body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
The body of Christ given for you. 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 Please rise. Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice, may we thirst for your way of peace. For you are Lord forevermore. Amen. May God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, grant you the gifts of faith and hope. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We join in singing, Lord, dismiss us with your blessing.
Dismiss us with your blessing, fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us eat your love possessing, triumphing, redeeming grace. Oh, refresh us, oh, refresh us, traveling through this wilderness. Thanks we give and adoration for your gospel's joyful sound. May the fruits of your salvation in our hearts and lives abound. Ever faithful to your truth may we be found. Savior, when your love shall call us from our struggling pilgrim way, let no fear of death appall us, let your summons to obey. May we ever reign with you in endless day.
Go in peace. The Spirit sends us forth to serve.